Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff. Happy belated... Okay, here's the truth. We're recording this before Thanksgiving, but you're going to hear it after Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. You nailed it.
Okay. And are you as excited as I to see the Thanksgiving horror movie?
Yes. I was going to ask you. You haven't seen it.
No. Is it already out? It probably came out this week.
I think so.
Or maybe it's coming out this week. I don't know.
That's actually a good call. I don't know if it's out, but I do want to see it.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a nice, fun slasher. So.
Yes. And I mean, there's so few Thanksgiving any kind of movies.
And horror movies love a holiday. A Christmas horror, Valentine's Day. Halloween.
Easter Bunny.
Easter Bunny. There's not enough Easter horror movies. That's the next thing they got to work on for sure.
I agree. I forgot there was a, there's like a character in Hellboy called the Tooth Fairy. My dad has this crazy, like, toothy monster model.
Oh,
and I was like, what
I
is
know
that?
What
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Super That's spooky. Very cool. But I was going to say, this also is kind of your birthday podcast.
My birthday. It is almost my birthday. It's weird. It doesn't really feel like my birthday is this week.
Literally 3 days.
That's how you know I'm getting old, because I am not even noticing that my birthday is in a few days. That's so crazy. I mean, I knew because I'm going home, and I know I'm going out to dinner with my family, I guess on Friday. I don't know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then
wait, is it? No, it's not Thanksgiving this year.
No, yeah. It's the day after. And then Travis and I are going upstate the next weekend for, like, us to celebrate my birthday. But I guess, I don't know. Maybe it's just, like, my job's crazy right now. I don't know. But my brain has kind of been, like, birthday?
Maybe it's 31. You're like, who cares?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's maybe part of it. Because 30 was, like, such a exciting big deal.
Yeah.
And not 31. I'm like, well, what now?
Yeah. That could be what it is. But happy, I guess it'll be after your birthday, but happy early birthday right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to send you a late present.
It's okay. You don't have to send me a present.
Just a little something.
We went out for the 30th.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. It's okay.
Just a little
31's
something.
Like, what is it? I feel like nothing else is important until you're like 62, right? It's like 30 to 62. There's nothing happening.
62 of all things? What about 60? No.
Well, I don't know. 62 is like the retirement age, isn't it? Or is that 64? Or is that 75 now? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like 90 at this time.
Yeah. recommendations? Do you have anything?
I have one, but it's not like quite horror, even though
it's not at all
horrific.
Yeah. Oh.
Have you seen the Twin Flames documentary?
No.
Not even been offered it?
What is that?
You have to watch it.
It's
another sort of like spiritual kind of cult. Yes.
Oh.
But it's about like the two founders of it. It's still operating today. Like still going at it. They haven't been able to like get them in like real trouble yet. But the two founders are like, say that they are each other's twin flames, which basically is like soulmates. But
okay.
It's very extreme. And so it's kind of like arranged marriages where they're like, that person's your twin flame. Now you have to do all these crazy things to like be with them, including like an insane amount of what?
No, not like sex thing. Is it a sex cult?
It's not actually that. It is like, obviously they like talk about sex a little bit, but what's so odd is that there's a lot of gender transitioning.
So whoa. Like,
yes. So they'll be like, you are the masculine, you are the feminine. Now you will get gender reconstructive surgery and yes.
So it's not coming from the person, it's coming from the leaders. Oh, yes. That's not good.
It's very odd. And it's like sometimes it feels like obviously the person also identifies that way and they make the change and they're happy or like is leaning towards it or something.
Oh, okay.
And there are some where they're like, you're masculine. And they're like, no, I'm not. Or they'll be like, you should be with a woman. And they're like, I'm not a lesbian. I don't.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
That is wild. And also it's one of those things too where I'm just like, okay, so you're the masculine, you're the feminine, which and you're telling the person that that means they have to reassign their gender.
Or I guess which both. Yeah.
Or both. Yeah, and it's like, well, can't I mean, it depends on how you're looking at gender, I guess, but there could be a world in which they just like are using like traditional masculine and feminine roles without having yes. to have surgery.
It's odd. And it's also whoa. Just like, I don't know. This is like one of the few ones where I'm just like, I don't know. I guess I kind of felt this way about the Keith Raniere one where I'm just like, the guy is like, I don't know. Both of them I don't think are that charismatic or like
oh yeah
good at like selling the
yeah demands. Like how are people following you,
but I think it's like such a like when you see the people that obviously have come out of the cult, it's like the most vulnerable
right
people who are like totally. I just wanted love, like I just wanted to like, find my person.
Yes,
it's so sad.
Everyone is just seeking love.
It's true,
man. Yeah. That's wild. I'll check it out. I'll get my family to watch it over Thanksgiving. That sounds like a nice family evening film.
I feel like I can't only your mom I feel like would be like
nah, she kind of likes it. I mean, she's so funny. She hates horror movies but watched all of Dexter and she really? loves, yeah, I don't know, and then I think she loves that kind of stuff, like a scandalous story, you know. I just feel like
totally
we that's can't like not mom. Love a scandalous story.
Yeah. I mean, my mom, like, always says she doesn't like horror movies. And she watched – I think she's, like, one of the few people that maybe finished The Walking Dead. And I'm like, what?
That's funny. I don't really know what I'm watching. I am watching Suits. I don't know why.
Oh.
But I kind of like it. I just
– where is it, Meghan Markle?
Is that who that is?
Yeah. Oh, that's my God. How you got into it?
Yeah. No, I forgot. But no. My mom said she watched it and it was good. And then I watched like the Netflix preview and I was like, oh, it looks mildly interesting. And then I started watching it and I was like, fine. This is a fine way to fill some time.
Wait, I have to tell you, I just remembered I actually did start watching a show that I really like. Did you ever watch The OC? Wait, no, that's not what that's called. The OA.
The OA. Oh my God. The OA is so good and so different from the OC.
I can't. I'm falling apart. But the OA. So yes. They.
I watched it all. Obsessed.
The girl from it, mm-hmm. Britt Marling, she is in a new show that's called A Murder at the End of the World. Have you heard of this?
No.
It is so good. And like kind of creepy and
where is it on?
Interesting. Hulu. It's the girl that plays, I haven't even seen The Crown, but the girl that plays Princess Diana in The Crown is the main character. And then the like young hot guy from Triangle of Sadness is like another big character.
Wow. An amateur detective who attempts to solve a murder at a secluded retreat. Yeah, I'm excited.
And she's like her dad was a what's that called? A person that does autopsies?
Oh.
A coroner.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And so she's like really into like figuring out why people died and like she like gets into true crime. It's very cool.
That sounds awesome. Okay. Yay. I'm looking for something because obviously I'm not that excited about Suits. I'm mildly interested.
You're just watching it. Well, yeah. Do you have anything else or that's pretty much it for now?
I've been listening to a lot of Criminal podcast. Mm-hmm. And
she's
listening.
She's the best.
It's so good. And I'm listening in order and I think I'm on like 100 and something now. So I'm really, really in it.
Real fan.
And every episode I love. I skipped a couple just if I like was like, oh, this feels like something I'm not in a place to listen to today. Or sometimes if it's about animals, I get nervous
that
I'm going to cry or something. But yeah, I think it's incredible. Like I think everybody should listen to Criminal just to like, I don't know, see a different view of like the world and many things. But
Yeah, it's really so
that's
good.
It, really. That's it.
Amazing. All right. Well, I'll jump in. I have a sort of borderline Thanksgiving story. It's basically like this grandfather told the same ghost story every Thanksgiving, and it eventually kind of led to the two brothers like uncovering this 200-year-old murder mystery. So
ooh,
I know.
That's exciting.
It's very interesting. Okay, so Dr. Bill and Reverend Frank Watson are two brothers whose grandfather, as I said, told this same like local legend sort of story every Thanksgiving. So it was about 57 Irish immigrants who died at a railroad site in Pennsylvania during the cholera epidemic back in 1832. So the area is called Duffy's Cut, and it's named after the rail worker's boss, whose name was Philip Duffy. But it's basically just this like stretch of railroad tracks about 30 miles from Philadelphia. And Duffy's Cut was this massive project basically to like fill in a ravine to allow the railroad to come through. The Watson's grandpa who was telling this story like was a railroad worker. And so he, you know, he believed basically that the railroad workers who all, you know, as I said, 57 Irish immigrants died. They always said it was because of cholera, but he believed that it wasn't from cholera.
Mm.
Yes. So how the story that the grandfather told goes, it's very short. Just a man walking home from a tavern claimed to see mysterious green figures dancing in the mist in September 1909. So I guess that's like about, you know, 70 years after the men died. So the documents that they, like the kids inherited, quote the unnamed man as saying, "I saw with my own eyes the ghosts of the Irishmen who died with cholera a month ago, a dancing around the big trench where they were buried. It's true, mister. It was awful." So there's like rumors of ghosts in that area. This is the story that the grandfather told, but they thought that, yes. So basically because of, or just to tell you like what the world, I guess, thought the true story was that the cholera outbreak happened and many of the workers from that area tried to run. But when they were looking for shelter, people were turning them away because they were worried about getting infected. Mm. So feeling lost, they went back to that area where they were, they're working on the railroad, and there was like a little shanty that they all kind of holed up in. I guess they were like partially living there anyway. But according to the story, they were taken care of by the Sisters of Charity, some nuns, I guess, mm-hmm. and a local blacksmith. And so as the men died, they started putting them in this like mass grave. And then the blacksmith eventually burned the little building to the ground after everyone was dead, which is very bleak.
Yeah.
So Frank, yes, Reverend Frank Watson, inherited the railroad papers, as I said, from his grandpa. And as he kind of started looking at them, he realized that his grandpa was the assistant to Martin Clement, who was the president of the Pennsylvania Railroad. So they actually had like a fair amount of documents. And one of them even said like X marks the spot over where they thought the mass grave was. So they suspected that like, you know, there could be some clues and sort of started digging in the paperwork. And they feel like, you know, there was just like more to the story, basically. And a lot of it in the documents, like many of the men were not recorded as having cholera or even really like working for the railroad to get up to that, whatever I said, 57 number. Mm-hmm. So Bill and Frank were fascinated. So they actually started like digging. So Bill is a historian now. And so he started this dig in 2002. And then in 2005, which like, I'm just like, I don't know. Anytime I think about archaeological digs, I'm just like, I would not have the patience to like 3 years later, they started to find things. Like,
I would be like, 3 days. I'm tired, hot, and bored. Moving on.
Like, truly could not do it. But 3 years later, they found forks, tobacco pipe shards, and basically like the brothers were like, I don't think lined up with like what they thought they'd be finding, or like people wouldn't have gotten rid of these valuable items. So they brought in a geophysicist named Tim Bechtel, and who I was like, Bechtel test? I don't know.
Oh, but,
are they all related? Maybe. But he did an earth scan to basically like see what was underground better. And how that works is like it shoots electrical currents through the ground, and there were strange areas where the current would stop. So they were like, all right, we got to keep going, basically. So then big find in March 2009, they found a bone, which started to raise some suspicions. And then teams started to uncover more things, including a skull that had been pierced by a bullet and cleaved by a hatchet.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah. Doesn't line up with cholera, really. So,
<That's> true.
So Bill Watson, in this article I read, I think it was the Daily Post or something like that, said, we have no idea what percentage of these guys were murdered, but if we have 57, it's the worst mass murder in Pennsylvania history.
Whoa.
Which is crazy. So in their research, he said the average of the workers was around 22 years old. They were all Irish immigrants. This was at a time that like there was a lot of xenophobia, mm-hmm. people like not, you know, treating them kindly. They were working for very little money, really not great conditions. And so, you know, as they kind of discovered more and more things, they eventually discovered at least 7 skeletons, including 4 skulls. And another additional skull had a little divot on it that would have been like the side bone of the skull. And that little divot is something that didn't, you know, that happened to cause the death. Again, like another proof that like this person had to have been hit on the head before they died. So they believe, you know, there's more bodies that can be uncovered and they're continuing to uncover. It seems like it's like not as big of a focus, you know, for whatever reason they've kind of backed away on it in more recent years. Mm-hmm. But I will say that they have, or I guess in 2012, they were able to bury 5 men. They had like put together 5 skeletons and then 1 woman who had died. And then they also, this is also so incredible and kind of crazy. They did find the body of a teenager who was named John Ruddy, and he was from a part of Ireland. And so they actually ended up sending his bones back to his home country, to Ireland, to be laid to rest. They also had a burial for Catherine Burns, was another woman whose skeleton they found in October of 2015. And again, she was another one that like by her skull, it indicated that she had been murdered. Which I'm also just like, the fact that there were women there too is kind of mind-blowing to me. But it's like a crazy story. And that's kind of like, you know, as much information as I have.
That's all they know.
All they know. So they're like continuing to discover. But, you know, it was back in, what I say, like 1832. So again, like, it's just so hard to know much more than that, but they're continuing to, you know, find new information. And to me, it's like at least they weren't all cholera, which is just, again, very dark.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, from the ghost story, I guess just like that was just passed down to the grandfather just by stories of like, from his family and back and back, probably.
I think so. And I guess because he worked with that woman, like he worked with, not woman, sorry. I don't know why I said that.
I was just going to agree with you.
You're like, yes, of course.
Yes, that woman. He was
an assistant to the president of the Pennsylvania Railroad. So he had like, you know, paperwork from his job, I guess, that kind of led them to it. But I love the concept too of like a grandfather telling a ghost story on Thanksgiving. Like, I'm just like, why?
A yearly ghost story.
Love it.
That's great. That is great.
That's it.
Well, good job. That was interesting.
Thank you.
The story I'm going to tell you is Thanksgiving adjacent for a couple reasons, and also just horrible. Like, it's so dark. It's a murder story.
Everybody get ready.
I'm so sorry for all the things I'm going to say. trigger warning, bad.
all of it.
All of it. Okay. So the story I'm going to tell you is Omaima. I was like so scared of saying it out loud for the first time. Omaima Nelson, who, actually, I kind of want to save the punchline. I'm just going to save the punchline.
The punchline.
So Omaima Nelson was born in Egypt and came to the United States in 1986. When she was in Egypt, she and her mother suffered under the abuse of her father, and it was apparently really, really bad. And apparently, and this is once again just trigger warning, this is such a dark thing. Apparently, when she was a child living in Cairo, she had undergone female genital mutilation.
Oh.
And that results in the act of sex being an extremely painful and traumatic experience.
Dang.
So she suffered greatly in her childhood, and she came over to America. And she had come over actually with an American man that she had met that was on some sort of contract in Cairo. And she was really young. And then she came over, and I think she immigrated to Texas. So, hey. So she met a man named William Nelson, who went by Bill, in 1991. And she met him while they were playing pool at a bar. And William had been a pilot, but he had been convicted for smuggling marijuana in 1984. So he had served 4 years in federal prison. He was released on parole, and he was back to he was back in the workforce working for some sort of mortgage company. So at the time, she was 23 and he was 56. They dated, they got engaged, and they were married in just a few days. So
that's bleak.
Yep. Yep.
Just a few days?
Just a few days. And they went on some sort of honeymoon where they visited a bunch of his American relatives in Texas and also in Arkansas. And Omaima said that she didn't know that her husband was a violent person until they went on their honeymoon. And I was like, Omaima, that's because you knew him for 3 days. So maybe we should have slowed it down. And according to her, after the honeymoon, he began to get more and more violent. And she claims that he assaulted her physically and sexually during their marriage. She said that Bill was interested in kinky bondage sex. And whenever she didn't want to do that, he would get really upset and he would hit her. She also told a story that one time they were driving and she had gotten a kitten, and he got mad at her and threw the kitten out the window.
Oh, God.
So it's all going very badly. Okay. So she said that she was threatening to leave him. And on Thanksgiving weekend and on Thanksgiving Day in 1991, it all came to a head. So she said that she felt like her life was in danger.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. She said that he attempted to rape and strangle her. And in self-defense, she seized a lamp and struck him with it a bunch before stabbing him with a pair of scissors. And he died.
I think good job.
Oh, I'm not done yet, Lauren. And neither was Omaima. Okay. So after she murdered him, she decided that she needed to, you know, get rid of the body. So she starts to dismember his body into little bits. And according, and you know, once she was arrested, and we'll go into that, this story changes a bit here and there, but
I was gonna say, according to her, I'm getting confused whose side I'm on.
That's why I told it in this way. She dismembered his body, and she decided that a good way to hide him was in the Thanksgiving leftovers and food. So she cooked down his skull.
Oh, my.
She boiled his hands to remove his fingerprints. And she mixed a bunch of the remains with the leftover Thanksgiving turkey, with the cranberry sauce. And she also apparently cooked his ribs and proceeded to eat them with barbecue sauce.
Oh my. This feels like a movie.
She never saw it coming. So then she threw away what she could, and she wrapped a bunch of the remaining body parts and organs in trash bags and put them in her car. So wow. She then contacted two of her ex-boyfriends.
Wait, did she serve? I'm so sorry. Did she serve the food to other people?
Oh, no. Just for Omaima.
Just for her.
This is such a crazy story, and it's so dark, and it's like sometimes you have to laugh because otherwise you'll just throw up.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's a bad one. Okay. So she contacted a couple of her ex-boyfriends, and her ex-boyfriend named Jose responded, I guess. She drove her over to his house. She told him the whole story, not the cooking with him part, just the part where she had to kill him in self-defense and needed to get rid of the body. And she said, if you help me get rid of the rest of these body parts that are in my car, I will give you $75,000 and some of the motorcycles that Bill had in their garage. And Jose, good for you, Jose, said, okay, good, and called the police.
Good for him.
I know. Good for you, Jose. You're smart. Yeah. So they came and arrested her and found in the passenger seat, front seat, a trash bag. And they said, what's in there? And she said, and apparently it was his lungs, Lauren. His lungs. And they knew they were lungs because they had like black stuff all over them because he was a smoker.
Oh, gosh.
I know. So they go to the couple's residence. Walls, floors, bed linen stained with blood. They collect pieces of William's body from the kitchen. And they talk to the neighbors. And the neighbors said that they heard what sounded like a garbage disposal going for 48 hours straight. So apparently she had tried to dispose at least a third of the body just down the garbage disposal, which honestly is maybe what I would have done too.
A third of the body though?
Yeah, because they find all these remains, they get it all together, and they realize they were missing 80 pounds of Bill. And
oh my God.
So they thought most of it had gone down the garbage disposal.
Wow.
Happy Thanksgiving. Okay. It's crazy. Okay. So Amaya was arrested. So
you're telling me that when I'm thinking about leftovers, I can put down the garbage disposal. I could do a lot because she fits.
You can get a lot down there. Barely 80 pounds. Yeah. So she was arrested on December 2nd. So it took a few days, I guess. And the trial started on a year later, December 1st, 1992, right? Just a week or so after my birth.
Incredible.
Wow. I could have been there. And basically, so Omaima and her lawyer were like, she had PTSD from, she was under extreme stress from her husband's abuse, blah, blah. And the jury was like, nah, because she didn't just kill him. She really killed him, dismembered him, and then ate him. So
down the garbage disposal.
And put him down the garbage disposal. So she was found guilty of second degree murder, sentenced to 25 years to life. She had a parole that hearing in 2006. Right. Yeah, yeah. And so 2006, she had, I guess, become a sort of Christian, hardcore Christian. She expressed that she felt bad about murdering him. I'm sorry I dismembered him. Please let me out. And the parole board was like, no, because they thought that she was a threat to others, which she is.
Yeah.
But get this. While she's in jail, 2011, she gets married again to a man in his 70s that is in the outside world. So I don't know if this is one of those things where people like write to people in jail. I don't know.
I can't. Anytime people marry someone in jail, I'm like, what yeah. is going on?
And apparently he had some money. He actually died. And so some people wonder if he left her some money. She was eligible in 2011 again for parole. And they denied her again. And now, oh yeah, this is a weird part too. So she, okay, so there's also, obviously there's some mental instability here. And she said a couple of things to psychiatrists that I guess are red flags for her being able to get out of prison. One is that she said that she dismembered him because these like Egyptian women covered in blood came to her in a dream and said that she had to murder him and that she had to dismember him because otherwise she would meet him again in the afterlife. And so she had to take the body apart so he couldn't follow her in the afterlife. And then Dr. David J. Scheffner, who was her psychiatrist, said that like he's diagnosed her as clinically insane because she also told him that while she was dismembering the body as part of the ritual, that like the ritualistic nature in which she did it, she wore a red hat, red high heel shoes, and red lipstick while she did this.
Wow.
And so she's not up for parole again until 2026. But while I was Googling, I did find a change.org petition for Omaima Nelson's early release that has 6,324 signatures.
Oh my God.
And it basically says
she's innocent. Self-defense.
No, it doesn't say she's innocent. It says that she has been fully rehabilitated. They said that she's gone through thousands of classes in therapy. She graduated from high school. She's attended job skill training, 800 hours of Alcoholics Anonymous, 800 hours of Narcotics Anonymous. When was she addicted to these things? I don't know. It never came up in the research. Hundreds of hours of anger management. Maybe. That's possible. And she currently lives in the honor dorm and lives a positive life. And at the end, it just says, this is the woman that Omaima Nelson is today. And I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't.
I was just going to say, I always feel so conflicted over like rehabilitation stuff.
Yeah, I do too, because sometimes it's like,
she's probably a very different woman.
I mean, I'm sure she is different. I mean, this is like 20, 30, basically 30 years ago. Is that math right? 1990. Yeah, I'm 31. So, okay.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to me.
Birthday week.
But I don't know. This one, I'm just kind of like, I feel like if you have the ability to do something like that, you probably shouldn't be put in a position in which you could do it again.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
So, yeah. So that's Omaima. Wow. That is the craziest story I literally have ever, feel like I've ever told this podcast.
But it's, I feel even like crazier that was
than the poison cheesecake story.
I don't know. I feel like this was like a perfect Thanksgiving one.
I mean, it really was. And I will say, I listened to the murder makeup Bailey episode on this, and she's really funny and did a great job. And this Medium article. And so if anything was wrong, that's who to blame.
I love it. I thought that was so good and such a perfect Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Truly. Check your turkey meat. Make sure there's nothing weird in there.
And cranberry sauce, right?
The cranberry sauce.
I knew a suspect.
Yeah. But thanks everyone for listening.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving. And we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.